Good morning. Thank you, Dennis. When you were speaking there a while ago, about the number of people that are here, I never really thought about it exactly the way you said it, but to whoever is speaking up here, I can tell you whether it's Mike or Dennis or me or whoever's speaking, it is encouraging. It's an encouragement to look out and see a lot of people looking back at you. And it made me think, Dennis, sometimes one of the leaders will say, Lex, you want to preach a certain Sunday? And I'll say, yeah, I can do that. And you'll say, do you want Sunday morning or Sunday evening? I always pick Sunday morning. And I hadn't, till you said that, I just really had never thought, well, it's because I'd rather speak to more people. It's an encouragement to everyone when there's a number of us here. This morning, I want to talk a minute the scripture that Jacob read a few minutes ago. In Romans chapter 5, and there's a lot of good things in that scripture, but the thing we really want to focus on this morning is the last phrase, we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. That's what I'd like to talk about this morning. We're all creatures of hope. We live in hope about a lot of things. In the springtime, farmers and gardeners plant with hope that the seeds they're planting are going to turn into a crop, turn into a harvest. All of our relationships are built on hope. Things are going bad, we hope they'll get better. When things are going good, we still hope they'll get better. Hope that our good things will continue. But when we think about hope, of all the people in the world, Christians have more reason for real hope than any other people. As Christians, we have hope. As Christians, we have hope that we have assurance that what we're hoping for will come to pass. Most people wish for a future that'll hold pleasant, enjoyable things for them, but that doesn't mean they have hope. The definition really of hope is, the definition of hope is a desire for something and an expectation that you're going to get that it's going to come to pass. That's the hope that we have in Christ. What's the Christian's reason for hope? Is our hope, is it just blind wishful thinking, something that we think and what we hope for is salvation and eternal life? Is that just something we wish for? Or do we really have reasons that we believe that is going to come to pass? And I would share with you this morning, our hope is not just blind wishful thinking. The Apostle Peter declares that we should be able to give a reason concerning the hope that is in you. Our hope, if we only have hope in Christ in this life, then we are to be pitied. That's what 1 Corinthians, that's what Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. If we only hope in this life, we are of all men to be pitied. The Christian's hope is in eternal life. And Titus 3:7 says, so that being justified by his grace, we might become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Our hope, we're going to look at really four different things this morning that our hope is based on. The first one, and We will, in a few moments, we'll have a memorial, the Lord's Supper. The first thing that our hope is based on is the sacrifice of Christ. The Apostle Paul wrote in 1 Timothy 1:15, the Apostle Paul wrote, Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And that means Christ died for me. He died for you. Because scriptures say that all have fallen short of the glory of God. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Romans 3:23 says, the wages of sin is death. We've all sinned. Our payment for that would be death. I've sinned. He died for me to deliver me from sin and its consequences. That is the basis of our hope. Scriptures tell us only blood can take away sin. Hebrews 9:22, all things are cleansed with blood, and apart from the shedding of blood, there is no remission. We read further, it's impossible that the blood of bulls and goats should take away sin. And that's a reference to the old law where they did sacrifices to God for sins, but they didn't take the sins away. It's impossible, as it says, and that's in Hebrews chapter 10. It's impossible that the blood of bulls and goats should take away sins. Only by the blood of God, by the blood of God's only begotten Son. You know, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. That's how any sinner can be forgiven. Because of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, we have boldness to enter into the holy place by the blood of Jesus. That's Hebrews 10:19. Our hope of cleansing, our hope of entering where Jesus is through his blood. You know, when you read the scriptures, it paints a pretty bad picture, really, of our spiritual condition. At least the condition that we start in. And this is in Ephesians, this is Paul writing in Ephesians. He said, you were at that time separate from Christ. Separate from Christ, that's a bad place to be. Alienated from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from covenants of the promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But Christ changed all that. That's the picture before Christ came. He changed all that. The next verse in Ephesians 2:12 says, but now in Christ Jesus, you that once were far off are made near in the blood of Christ. Sin separated us from God. Sin stood between, our own sin stood between us and God. But by the sacrifice of Christ, we're reconciled to God through the death of his Son. That's in Romans chapter 5. We're reconciled to God through the death of his Son. Thus, by his sacrifice, we're reconciled. Reconciled, that is, brought back. We were separated from God through the death of Christ. We're brought back to God. Take away the sacrifice of Christ and the hope of Christians is gone. Take away the death of Christ, there is no hope for Christians. Our hope is based on what Christ did for us on the cross of Calvary. The first thing our hope is based on is Christ's sacrifice. The second thing, the resurrection. Without the resurrection, there is no hope. The death of Christ is the mean means of our forgiveness. Blood was shed, Christ's blood, for our sins. But his resurrection then gives us the assurance of hope in both forgiveness of sin and the joy of heaven. Apostle Peter wrote, and this is in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 and 4, the Apostle Peter wrote, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy begat us again unto a living hope by the resurrection of Jesus from the dead, unto an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you." Christ's resurrection. The reason the apostles, wherever they went, they preached the death of Christ and also of his resurrection. Jesus was declared to be the Son of God, and this is in Romans chapter 1, verse 4. He was declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead, even Jesus Christ our Lord. From ages past, man has wondered what follows death. It's something men have thought about for forever. Jesus Christ is the answer to that question. His resurrection is a pledge of our own. 1 Corinthians 15. "But now hath Christ been raised from the dead, the firstfruits of them that are asleep. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, so also in Christ all shall be made alive." Christ arose. He gives us hope. He gives us assurance. He gives us an expectation of our own resurrection. As he assured the apostles, he said in John 14, a scripture very familiar to most of us, he said, "I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I come again and will receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also." Satan and hell cannot control by fear those who trust in Christ and his resurrection. John wrote in Revelation 20 and verse 6, "Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. Over these the second death has no power." The Apostle Paul described the first resurrection. He wrote, "Are you ignorant that all who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried therefore with him through baptism unto death, that like as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we also might walk in newness of life. For if we have become united with him in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection." If Christ had not been raised from the dead, baptism would be meaningless. If Christ hadn't been, if he hadn't been raised from the dead, our faith would be empty. But his resurrection gives meaning to our hope, that hope that we have of eternal life. The third thing let's talk about, it's based on Christ. Our faith, our hope is based on Christ's sacrifice, on his resurrection, and it's based on his presence in our lives, his presence in our daily lives. When Jesus prepared to leave the apostles and return to the Father in heaven, he commanded that they take the gospel, and we know this as the Great Commission in Mark 16. He commanded they take the gospel into all the world, to every creature, he said. In Matthew 28:20, he said, "Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." Then the apostles, when they went everywhere preaching the word, what a comfort it was to them to know that Christ was with them. In times of trial and times of trouble, which we're all going to have on this earth. But Christ is there with us. He wants to commune with us. Christ speaks to us through the Word, through the Scriptures. We speak to Christ through prayer. And don't forget to work on your prayer life. Lots of prayers going up right now for people, especially in our congregation. And we need to remember that Christ, the presence of Christ, that Christ is with us. When the apostles went everywhere preaching the word, what a comfort to know that Christ was with them to help them. When Paul was in the city of Corinth and he met opposition, Christ assured him. This is in Acts chapter 18, verses 9 and 10. God told Paul, "Be not afraid, but speak and don't be silent, for I am with you, and no man shall set on thee to harm you, for I have much people in this city." That Christ cares and that he is with us, that his power is available to us, that gives us hope. Christ's presence, it gives us hope. Something that was mentioned, Rick mentioned in our class this morning. Paul asked, had a physical ailment of some kind, and Paul asked that God would remove his thorn in the flesh, he called it. Paul had a thorn in the flesh. He asked God to remove it. He prayed that God would remove it. The Lord answered the prayer, but the answer really was no. He needed to keep the thorn in the flesh. But the Lord answered the prayer saying, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness." So then, what Paul said about that, "When I am weak, then I am strong." Not his own strength, but that of Christ that Paul trusted. In Philippians, he said, "I can do all things." What a great verse this is. "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." When we depend on our own strength, that's when we're beginning to see failure, not success. Depending on our own strength, we fail. But God's strength, it never fails. Never fails. And we need to remember to look for that strength when we're in times of trouble. Look to God for that strength. Fourth thing we want to talk about, hope is based on the promises of God. God will do what he said he was going to do. He will do that. And that's another thing that we have to hold close in our hope is the promises of Christ. Jesus often talked about heaven. He's very familiar with it. When he was on earth, he used to live there in heaven. He knew a lot about it. He had a lot to talk about. He talked often about heaven. John 6, verse 38, he said, "For I am come down from heaven, not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me," the will of his Father. Just before he was arrested, Jesus told the apostles, "Let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. For I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. The Apostle Paul shows us what our attitude should be about this world, and heaven. He said, and this is from 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 16 and 18. He said, wherefore we faint not, but though our outward man is decaying, yet our inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is for the moment, worketh for us more and more exceedingly an eternal weight of glory, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. Things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Because of our hope, our assurance of heaven, we recognize that we're only passing through this world on our way to our eternal home. We sing a song about that. This world is not my home. I'm just passing through. In Ephesians chapter 2 and verses 8 and 9, Paul wrote, being therefore justified by faith, we have peace with God. Peace. We all look for that. We all search for that. We all need peace in our lives. Being therefore justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have had our access by faith into this grace wherein we stand. And we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. That's the scripture that we read just a moment ago that Jacob read, Romans 5, 1 through 2. We rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. As Christians, notice it said in that verse that we stand in grace. We stand in grace. Our sins have been forgiven by the blood of Christ. He wrote further in Romans in chapter 8 and verse 1 and 2. Paul wrote, there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus made me free from the law of sin and death. In 1 John 1, 7, he talks about walking in the light. So we're not under condemnation if we're walking in the light. The scripture declares, he is faithful that promised. In Hebrews, it's where that promise is. He is faithful, that promised. So we started out talking about what is our hope based on? Is it meaningless? Is it just something we just wish for? No, we have a basis for our hope. And it's the things we just talked about. What is our assurance, our hope? In 1 John 5, 11 and 13, the witness is this, that God gave unto us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. This life is in Christ. He that hath the life, he that hath the Son of God, he that hath not the Son of God hath not the life. These things have I written unto you, that you may know that you have eternal life, even unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God. In Romans 6, 3, if you're in Christ, you have that hope, that assurance of an eternal life. And in Romans 6, 3, it says, because we have been baptized into Christ and we're walking in the light, as it says in 1 John, we have the assurance of eternal life from our Father in heaven. There's that promise. That is our hope. So these are the reasons of the hope within us. The writer of Hebrews said, an anchor of the soul. Think about an anchor. It holds strong. It's unmovable. A hope, the anchor of the soul, a hope both sure and steadfast, and entering into that which is within the veil, where as a forerunner, Jesus entered for us. We have a basis for our hope. We have something to hold on to that we can believe in. And those things, first we talked about the sacrifice of Christ. Without the blood sacrifice of Christ, there'd be no hope. Then Christ's resurrection. He not only died, but he arose again. Without the resurrection, there'd be no hope of eternal life. Christ's presence. Our hope is based on his presence. We feel the presence of God in our lives. And then the fourth thing we talked about, that our hope is based on, the promises of Christ. He promised what he promises, he will deliver. And we have but to obey the commandments of God, and we can have that hope. If we look back at, again, the scripture that we read at first, therefore, since we've been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand. We stand in grace. Stand in the grace of God. And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. As Christians, you wonder sometimes how people go on in their life without that hope that we as Christians have, that we enjoy. How do people even cope with some of the trials and trouble that we're going to have in life? Because we know we're going to have one. Even Christians, we're going to have those troubles. We're going to have those bad times. We're going to go through tremendous highs, but they're also going to go through tremendous lows. There's mountains and there's valleys. But through all that, with our hope in Christ, that is what gets us through that. That's what gets us through. So I'll leave you with those thoughts. And as we close, if you have a desire to be baptized, if you have not done that, you desire to do so, we can help you with that. If you find that you need the prayers of the church to help you with whatever struggles that might be, we would invite you to do that. So if you're subject to the invitation, would you come forward as we stand and sing?